Brother Dewey and his wife Lauren and their church says hello, said thank you for lending me to them. Say me, they must not know me well. And also Randy and Ellen said to say hello. Anytime you want to come up and visit them, they would love it. The congregation was looking forward to it. Randy's been so sick. He goes, Brian, you're coming. I'd let you preach, but I haven't preached. And I'm their pastor. They need to hear me. And I said, brother, I just wanted to come up, check on you, and pray with you. And so, but we sat in their service. And when we're there, it just makes me appreciate how you people sing. I'm just being honest, okay? And with the music and stuff. And I told other people that sometimes, you know, I'm someone who every now and then can say something slightly inappropriate, maybe from the pulpit, I don't know. You're all looking at me. Howard's going, yeah, we all know, preacher. No. But it was a case of they were teasing because, you know, they're saved people, they're conservative, and Randy made a joke about them having to open up the fort. I don't know if it's McHenry or whatever. It's right on the border, like on Thousand Islands across the St. Lawrence Seaway, and he says they're going to actually open that back up so they can shoot at the Americans they come across. And a couple of his church members said, nah, that won't happen. We're not allowed to have firearms, and we have to get the musket balls and the cannonballs from America, and we can't afford to pay the tariff. And all I said is, I just want you all to know I am the citizen of a far better country. And they all looked at me and I go, a heavenly country. Okay. And with that, we will start. So I almost said the wrong thing there too. So open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We won't read the whole chapter. We will start where we finished last Wednesday. How many of you can remember the one phrase that we kept repeating? Charity faileth. Charity never fails. So charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And we started with charity never faileth, and we talked about the definitions of charity. Okay, and we went to them, and that's supreme love to God, towards God, and universal goodwill towards men. That's God first. Amen. The first and great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. The second is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay, so we mentioned that is kind of like the theme of Philippians, joy, Jesus, others, then you. And we spent some time on that. If you turn to Psalm 142, we want you to know charity never fails. Because I'm going to show you something in a minute. God's word never fails. Okay? Psalm 142, verses 1 through 7, it says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. That's charity. God dealing how? Bountifully with us. When you have charity in your heart towards another person, you will not be restrained by the cares and the concerns, because it will be God's love flowing through you. You know what the world believes? They believe that love is like, there's only so much of it to go around. It's like an enclosed system. And if you give love to this person, you have less love to give the other one. That's not how it works. Not with God. He's infinite. His love is infinite. His charity cannot be, you can't sound the depths of his love. You can't reach the heights of his love. And I told you, the Legault definition of charity is God's love flowing through you to another person. See, and there's promises. Judy and I claim a lot. You would know that by now. Okay, and we're claiming now for her. But in 1 Kings chapter 8, I want to start at verse 53. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 53. For thou didst separate, 1 Kings 8:53. For thou didst separate them from among the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by thy hand of Moses, by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. And it was so that when Solomon made an end of the praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. See, it's okay to kneel in prayer, isn't it? It's okay to be prostrate on your face in prayer. It's okay to pray while you're walking. It's okay to pray while you're driving, as long as you're looking. You can listen for the voice of God, and you can listen for the sound of the horn, right? And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed what? One word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. That he may incline our heart, that he may incline our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments we command, which he commanded our fathers. And let these words wherewith I have made supplication, he's praying, this is at the temple, okay? I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times as the matter shall require. For what purpose? That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is none else. If charity flows through you and it never fails, they will honor your God. They will honor your God. Back in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Charity never faileth. Verse 8, the first part of the verse. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I want you to think about that. You know, we used to have a there was a woman involved with the early ministry that we used for the addictions program. And she was the wife of one of the heads of that. She claimed to have the gift of prophecy. She'd tell people she had it. If she had it, then whatever she was saying from God had to come every time. There's no misfires with God's prophet. Now, there's a lot of prophets out there who claim things, and they misfire, don't they? You wouldn't remember the name, the lady. There was this Pentecostal woman named Catherine Kuhlman, and she claimed to be a prophetess of God. And she claimed that she had divine healing, but when she got sick, she had to go to the hospital and let someone else heal her. And she claimed certain things, and they didn't come to pass. You don't believe me? Study it out in the Old Testament. If it is a prophecy of God, it has to come true 100% and specifically. So whether there be prophecies, what does it say they will do? They shall fail. And he gave some prophets, right? Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry. The need of prophets ended when the book was finished. If God opens that back up, fine. I tell people all the time, there's people sitting in this congregation I've counseled with at different times, and they hear me say, I don't want to be right. But if you continue in this behavior from God's word, this is what's going to happen. And I don't claim to be a prophet. I just know when God says this, there's going to be this. Now, if that's foretelling something, that's just agreeing with God. Whether it be prophecies, they shall fail. I don't claim any special gift. Whether it be tongues, they shall what? Tongues are not for the body of Christ. They shall cease. Ready? Exodus chapter 4. I'll try to go quickly. There's a lot of people who claim tongues. They had the gift. That means someone else, the Bible teaches, then there's got to be the gift of interpretation of it. Someone has to know what you said. If it's biblical tongues. Exodus chapter 4. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it up by the tail. What is the one thing you don't do with a snake? Grab it by its tail. You better get a hold of the head, because if you even missed a little ways back off the head, you're still going to get what? Bit. So I find faith in the Old Testament because Moses did what he was told to do. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out in his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe, neither hearken unto the voice of the what? The first sign. They will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Israel as a nation was born of signs. Signs are for Israel. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Let me see here. Chapter, which one I want to go to first? First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. What does that verse say? For Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And then I'll get off this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Base your doctrine and your beliefs on the Word of God. Look at verse 22. 1 Corinthians 14. Wherefore tongues are a sign, are for a sign, not to them that believe, but unto them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. Tongues are for a what? Israel is a nation born of signs. You know when tongues are to come back into play? During the tribulation. As God is dealing with Israel. But at that time, you know what I believe? I'm not going to be here. The tongues are not for the church. You know, listen, my wife, she got saved at a charismatic prayer meeting. It was wild, man. She got saved in spite of what was going on there. I'm not going to talk about that tonight. I've given testimony about that before. Okay? But you know what one of those people told me? Well, if you can't speak in tongues, just start practicing. I know doctors have to practice to get things right, but I don't think the Holy Spirit does. They talk about unknown tongues. Study the book of Acts and tell me. They're unknown to the person speaking it. They spoke it, but everything they point to, everyone heard in their what? There was no practice in that. That was God working. Tongues shall cease. See, they will cease. But tongues are for unbelieving Jews. Even when the Jewish people got saved, when they didn't believe that Gentiles could be saved, guess what appeared? They were saved Jews, but they didn't believe that the Gentiles could be saved. You'll find tongues. You know what you don't find them in? The Gentile churches. And when they did, Paul approached them about their misuse and their false practice. Back to 1 Corinthians 13. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall what? I don't know about you, but I think this world's getting more stupid every day. The loss of just common understanding. Knowledge. It shall vanish away. Isn't that interesting? It shall vanish away. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, charity edifieth. Yeah. It's going to vanish away. Why? Because of verses 9 and 10 in our text in 1 Corinthians 13. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That which is perfect is come. Got a lot of verses for you. All right. Pastor Kenny and I, I believe, are in agreement on this. If not, he'll tell me afterwards. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to see something. And then we're going to go on to see some other verses, okay? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. We already mentioned this. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God. Is there any time in the church age where we will all come to the unity of the faith? You can't put five Baptist churches in the same building and have them agree, let alone pulling the other ones in. All right? I don't need to pick on the other denominations. I can pick on Baptists because I is one. All right? To all come to unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God. You know, it's because what it is, you know what Baptists do? Because we spend so much time in the book, Bible-believing Baptists. You know what we want to do? We think it makes us special, so we got to find something new. That's unique. There was a person who came, he was in this church for a while, and he finally started reading his Bible, and he came to me and he says, did you ever see that? Did you know that was in the book?
No. No, I didn't know.
Search ye out the book and read. People, I'm an animated dirt ball. I told the people up at Watertown Baptist Temple, I'm an animated dirt ball, and I said, and so aren't you. Okay? And there are certain things I was trying to show them from the Word of God. But the time that that man approached me, I had read through my Bible 200 times. 200 times. You say, why would you do that? Because every time God shows me how little I know. Every time. I've read through my Bible 300 times more. Not more than the 200, but over 300 times. And you know what I know? I don't know a lot when it comes to God. But I know what he says and how I can apply certain parts of it to my life when I'm willing. To all come into the unity of the faith, into the knowledge of the Son of God, into the perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. See what that is? And it's going to be important. Remember that. That we henceforth be no more what? Children. I'll pick on the children a little bit. Tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning of craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. When that which is perfect is come, it's a reference. I want you to know, I love you, but I don't love you perfectly. I get in the way. You ever get in the way of loving somebody right? There's going to be a time when perfect love's going to be before me. Think about that. When that which is perfect is come, what is that a reference to? What is that a reference to? Some people say that's a reference to the Word of God. Other people say that's a reference to this. In the context, you ready? But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part should be done away. You ready? Look at verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then how? Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. Face to face with God, my Savior, what will it be? You can't be face to face with the Word of God. It's face to face. This is a personal, and your salvation is personal. Guess what? To me, the second coming is personal. I look for it. I pray for it. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16 says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If you're here tonight, you're saved, you have the mind of Christ. How much do you listen to it? Huh? The mind of Christ. Go to 1 John chapter 2. We're coming back to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 28. And now what? 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You're going to say, why do I bring that up? Okay. For we know in part, and we shall prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be what? Done away. We know in part. You know what happens? The world gets in the way. We hear something from knowledge puffeth up, charity edifieth. Okay? Understanding is the right application of knowledge. Do kids understand? Do you realize that when a person gets saved, they can be 50 years old, but they're a baby in Christ? Now, they can grow quickly, a lot faster than you can physically, but they're a baby in Christ. And they got to have meat and milk and bread and water and oil. And that growth is going to be tied to the book. You know what I've watched through my life as a saved man? I've watched Christians, baby Christians, struggle with the matters of the law. They struggle with the matters of the law. They want to argue. You know what I mean? They struggle with the matters of the law. Ephesians 4 and verse 14, I'm going to read it to you. It says, that henceforth we be no more what? Children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. They struggle with matters of the law. Well, I'm not talking somebody who is a physical child. I'm talking a spiritual, emotional child. You know what they like to do? They like to look and see where someone fails, where they're not failing. They like to take, I've got a stand and you can't violate it. Okay? And I'm going to separate from you because you don't agree with me. You know what kids do? Little kids? When they get upset at somebody else, they tell their other friends everything that's wrong with the other person. You know what happens with spiritual babes? You ever have it happen? You ever been part of it? They struggle with matters of the law. They do. Because then when they learn to keep the law, you know what happens with a teenager? They think if they do, they got caught, they got in trouble, they lost some privileges. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And so then they think, okay, well, you've lost that privilege. Well, what I got to do to gain it back? You've got to do this, this, and this. So they go 1 week. They've done 1 week of what they were supposed to do, and they go, I've been good for a week. Can I have that back? Amen? Their life, determination of their life is based off this short period of time. Well, their Christian walk is based off this short period of time. And it's like, God, why aren't you listening to me? I haven't done that in a week. Do you see what I'm saying to you? Children. They think they know, but they don't know. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at verse 20. Brethren, be not children in what? But be ye children. Okay. Brethren, be not children in understanding, how be it in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Why would it say it that way? Because children don't know. They have to learn their time frame. They struggle with waiting. They struggle with a lot of different things. But you know something that kids can do that, the story's always, we watched it in the neighborhood when we lived in Fairhaven. The kids would start have a fight and then the parents would get involved. Okay? Within 2 days, the kids are back playing to each other, but the parents didn't speak to each other for months. Right? So in malice, be a child. Kids, when you turn around and say, please forgive me, you know, they forgive a lot faster than adults do. So here it's saying, in understanding, don't be a child, but in malice towards other people, be a child. But understanding, be men. Proverbs 20 and verse 11, even a child is known by his doings. Proverbs 29 and verse 15, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Back in our text. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. First Peter chapter 1, trying to finish quickly. First Peter chapter 1. Verse 13. See the context? Second coming. You ready? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the what? As what? Obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Don't think as a child. Put away the childish things. Verse 12 goes on, it says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also as I am known. Through a glass darkly. Through a glass darkly. People get hung up. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You can't be a kid and do that. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive the meekness with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls, and be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his face, his natural face in what? A glass. We see through a glass darkly. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. For if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, isn't that where kids can get in trouble? But deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Spiritually, if you can't hold on to your tongue, use a kid. Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. 1 Corinthians 13. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. He already knows all about me. I look forward to the day when I can know him experientially, physically, and to be in the presence of that unbridled love. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is, because charity never faileth. All God's people said, good night and God bless.